JG2 Number 2B.
So we therefore can see that as St. John saw the revelation that another age would come, which would bring the age of truth and a little book that would teach the spirit of truth. We also saw that St. John's work with his work, especially in the Gospel of St. John. We know we have Jesus' life out from the standpoint of Matthew, the Word, Mark, the Christ, Luke, Christianity, and St. John, where Max has shown us, based on John Dorley's book on the Gospel of John, where Jesus really was... we could see that science order in operation, where he really was the city four square in operation, where John said that Jesus was the city in operation. Therefore, he was the universal laws of being. When he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he meant, if you've seen me, you've seen those universal laws of science in operation, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation called Jesus, yet still remaining those laws. But he's called us brethren and said, here is my cup, drink ye all of it. He wasn't such that it was vicarious salvation. He expected us to work out our own salvation. If he could have healed the world, he would have done it with his great compassion through vicarious salvation. But as a little chick can't be helped out of an egg, we know that when a little chick begins to peck its way out of the egg, if we go to help peck the chick out and help the little chick out, the chick dies. And Mrs. Eddy says and alludes to that fact that we must be at work in science and understanding to peck our own way out of the mortal mind's illusion. It has to be done on our one-on-one relationship with God, because each one of us is that individual reflection of God, and each one has to understand that and be that transparency to principle. Nobody can do it for us. So we enter into the 6,000-year period of the textbook, which then is the textbook of truth, the 6,000-year period where the Bible closes, the textbook opens. And we have truth's volume, the two-edged sword, right there in the title of the textbook, Science and Health. We get the Christ science, the science of the Christ mind, really in her title, which is so appropriate, named correctly for the truth standpoint of the two-edged sword of truth, where she was presenting science or the principle in its fixed rules and laws, and health or that healthy whole consciousness which is based on the divine mind. Really, as we know now, that the whole goal of science and health at the 6,000-year period, the whole goal of those 16 chapters in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy was to just give us science and health, where she says, to epitomize her textbook, she says on page 423 in the textbook, she says, science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being, according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. So those two wings of the textbook, science and consciousness. And consciousness, of course, is divine consciousness based on the one mind, which is our ideal form. Form of consciousness is always based on the divine mind in its ideas. That constitutes our healthy whole consciousness. So she sees, therefore, that the goal is really that of science and consciousness, where in science our goal is to see that God's laws constitute our individuality, as she shows in No and Yes on page 11. So she shows that the whole goal of the textbook was to show that the structure of science, or the fixed principle behind the textbook, and our consciousness based on the divine mind are one. And she shows us through the whole development, as we know, from prayer to atonement and Eucharist to marriage to Christian Science versus spiritualism to the Christ chapters of animal magnetism unmasked to science, theology, and medicine as it works its way through the chapters step by step, logically, step by step, up finally to the 16th chapter of the Apocalypse, that chapter which we know is not built in the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in its subtones, but one of the few chapters that aren't defining a subject from the standpoint of the seven synonymous terms. But the 16th chapter, which is in the structure of the levels, really as a symbol to show us that if we have gone the way of the textbook, from the first chapter through all the 16th chapter, we have finally arrived at the levels of consciousness in understanding where we put off the old man, the human mind, and put on the new man, the divine mind, through an understanding of the textbook, where finally we collectively can say we are the city. Just as Jesus said individually he was the city four square, then we collectively through the textbook at the point of truth at absolute Christian Science level, collectively together through science and understanding where the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one, we say we are the city. And the textbook closes. Now, I hope that doesn't sound like a heretic, but we ask the biblical writers and fundamentalists not to take Christ Jesus as the ultimate end in spiritual history. We ask and show that the Bible closes and that the textbook is there at the 6,000-year period. But there comes a time when the textbook closes and we go on to the 7,000-year period of the model of being based on the Bible and the textbook. There's something quite unusual in the windows of the Mother Church, the original church, where if we visited it, and I know we all have, that many of us have, where Mrs. Eddy shows near the end of these windows in the Mother Church, one window with the Bible, and of course another window with a textbook, and then the last window completely empty. And when you go to the Mother Church and ask them, why is that window empty? They say, well, I guess she just forgot to put something there, or it doesn't matter, it's an empty window. As Max has pointed out, it seems to indicate the evolution from the 6,000 to the 7,000-year period, where the model of being then builds on the Bible and builds on the textbook, taking that whole, as I said, the whole essence of the Bible's 3,000 pages and the whole essence of the textbook 600 pages that have been reduced down then, as we've seen now, to the those big main categories of being of the seven synonymous terms for God, the nature of God, to the fourfold operation of God on the different levels of consciousness. And that when those big categories interrelate based on the capitalized terms in the textbook, they give us, therefore, a textbook of one page, a scroll, so to speak, of the model of being, which then shows those categories in an invariable relationship. And as I said, when you ever get an invariable order, it always builds up law. So Mrs. Eddy defined God as the principle of the universe, and we know principle means that comprehensive law which includes all other laws. So we will see that principle God on the level of science itself is that law which includes all other laws as shown on the levels of divine science, absolute Christian Science, and Christian Science. Therefore, with the model of being, we will see that we make the breakthrough of just the collective saying, yes, we are the city four square, where the whole universe says, yes, We are the city four square. We already get the indication in the world today that the world is saying yes to the universal laws of being. These laws are breaking in on the world, and you know that when Mrs. Eddy was asked in the beginning of the theology part of the sixth chapter, would Christian Science come through the churches? You could almost hear this big pause, and she says it will come according to God's appointing. Almost as saying, no. It won't come through religion or the laws of limitation. We know she uses religion very few times and mostly in the negative, but how many times she uses the term science. She indicates that generic man, and she doesn't say will lead on the centuries. She says generic man will reveal. She says generic man will lead on her on the centuries, and she says generic man will reveal her successor. She doesn't even say generic man is her successor. She says generic man will reveal her successor, which we feel is divine science and its universal laws. And you can see she also said that revelators will take their place, but they will not be deified, leaving open the door that the earth will help the woman. That we can see today that this universal science and its laws having its impact on the world, where Mrs. Eddy said that all science is divine, there is no physical science, they call it physical science, but it's only the science of God going on, misunderstood, called physical science, hence the coloring of that science in its two-valued logic, but seen correctly, it will take on a more mental, finally more spiritual realm. And finally today, as I'll show you tomorrow when we talk about how the impact of the explanation of laws, how the world sees what laws are, they call those laws God, and those laws, they're the laws as we see them. They are beginning to get hold of these laws. Already the law of life, truth, and love I showed you that they see is behind the acceleration of science today. Many, many of these laws they have caught on to that we explain through the model of being, and they are having the courage to call them God. So it isn't such that this is for a small denomination. This model of being is trying to show us that the science of text interpretation based on the Dorley method of text interpretation and on Max Kapler's method of text interpretation, which opened the Bible, as John Dorley did with the key of the system of reference, opened the Bible and the textbook, and of course we know Max Kapler with that key opened the Bible and the textbook. But Max makes it very clear that the responsibility of the generation to come was to see that Christian Science was the world, and that we would open up the universal laws of science which were at work in the world today, and to take us finally out of a sectarian a view of the world into the church universal and triumphant, which Mrs. Eddy expected to be. We know in her manual she made very clear the provisions to go into that church universal and triumphant. In Kapler's book on Christian government, he makes very clear that she began her first church and then stopped it and went away to work on the textbook, which she thought knew was going to give these universal laws. We know those behind her wanted her to organize. She said, suffer it to be so now. I'll give you the human sense of organization in the church. But she said, always leave it open to disorganize. And in her estoppel clauses indicated that she was to go, that we were to go on to this realm of what she called the church universal and triumphant, based on the structure of truth and love, having nothing to do with material organization, but having everything to do with this universal science in the realm of love, which is divine science, where thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. So according to this model of being, we then, in the 7,000-year period, can, with the tone of love as truth, really begin to comprehend perfection love, with the mind of Christ's truth. That's the seventh day that has just the tone of love as truth. And the seventh day, love as love. Not only do we comprehend perfection with the mind of Christ, but in the 7,000 year period, according to the model of being, we accept perfection in all its completeness. Therefore, with the help of the model of being, in the 7,000 year period, Mrs. Eddy shows then so nicely in her work, where she says then that the numerals of infinity, called 7 days, can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. As Max says, we deal with spiritual, not with time periods. She says these days will appear as mortality disappears. Therefore, we see that the mortal concept of God, the universe, and man must first be dropped. And they will reveal eternity, the newness of life. In the place of a step-by-step progress, we have the spontaneity and progression of life, in which all sense of error forever disappears. From the standpoint of metaphysics, we have to overcome error one after another. But from the standpoint of science, we proceed from the synonymous terms from God, from truth, where error never appears. And finally, with the mind of Christ at the 7,000 year period, we accept perfection in its completeness, where thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. And that is where done universally. Not just through a little collective group called Christian Scientists reading the Christian Science textbook, but the whole universe says yes to the universe and to these universal laws. Then from that basis, really, we are catapulted from the books, where we really go through books and past books into the realm of being itself. Where really these revealed texts of the Bible, the science and health, and the model of being, as revealed texts, are there to help us come from the irrational through the rational, and as Max shows in the Four Levels book on page 90, into the irrational, really into the realm of being itself, where being as such is not a science. But being stands above science, as Max shows us in the Four Levels book, talking about this realm of being itself, and includes it. It's really, as John Dorley talks about this level of the eighth day, he says it's like in music. We go through music and past music into the realm of music itself. That's the eighth day. Or we go through art and past art into the realm of art itself. It's into that irrational realm where we are music and expression, where we are art and expression. We no longer have to think about the tones of music and the scale of music. We are music. We know that those beautiful composers of Beethoven or Mozart, they heard this music. They heard this realm. And they struggled to put it down. They say, they tell you they heard it. And therefore, it was just symphonies that they were just transparencies to write it down. Mrs. Eddy said she heard being itself. She was a scribe under orders, just writing the melody that she heard, but had to water it down to human comprehension. This is this realm of being itself, really the source of inspiration, that matrix of infinity that happens on the level of science itself, really which becomes now what we see, and now as I begin to wrap up our evening session, really that matrix of infinity, which we see then is the source of all creativity. It's really the matrix of immortality, as we read in the Four Levels book, or we could call it the womb of mortality. That law of infinite self-reflection, really given to us and shown on page 33 in the study aid, where we see it is the matrix, where we have that law of infinite being, where principle is being its own infinite principle. which we can look at that law through knowing, therefore, that mind is being its own infinite mind, spirit is being its own infinite spirit, soul is being its own infinite soul, principle is being its own infinite principle, life is being its own infinite life, truth is being its own infinite truth, love is being its own infinite love. And it's within this matrix we really get our new birth, our birth into immortality. It's no longer a birth into mortality, but we have birth into immortality, where really then Mrs. Eddy says that the admittance to oneself that we're God's own likeness has set us free to master the infinite idea. This is where we master the infinite idea. This is something where it is a ever-present consciousness here and now. It's a state and stage of consciousness. One doesn't have to pass from one realm into another to experience this standpoint. It's here and now. It's really that state of consciousness based on the Bible, the textbook, and the model of being, where the structure of reality and the structure of consciousness are one and the same thing, where consciousness is the one I, which is infinitely being, based on this matrix of immortality, where we spiral higher and higher from a boundless spaces into spiritual spheres and exalted beings. Really into that standpoint where Mrs. Eddy saw that life was in and of spirit here and now. To graphically show that, I just finished our journey tonight in our tour through a few graphic illustrations that I like to show that this can be shown in color, taking the color of the rainbow of the seven. For example, you could show that Mrs. Eddy says that science is the prism of truth which divides the rays of God into the hues of deity. You could, just taking it as a metaphor or as a symbol, perhaps a mind is red, spirit is orange, soul is yellow, principle is green, truth is blue, life is blue, truth is indigo, love is violet, the color of the rainbow, and see the blending of the synonymous terms as an example of that matrix of immortality, or the blending of the synonymous terms that we get in that law of infinite self-reflection, where principle is being its own infinite principle, really, therefore, which we have in on page 32 in the study aid, that whole law of infinite self-reflection then, of mind being its own infinite mind, spirit being its own infinite spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love being their own soul, principle, life, truth, and love, where we get the focal point of spirit in the fourth dimension of spirit, where really here we would see thought accepts the infinite calculus of spirit, not the divine infinite calculus, but the infinite calculus of spirit, where Mrs. Eddy talks about the infinite calculus of spirit defining the line, plane, space, and fourth dimension of spirit in Miscellaneous Writings 22. So this matrix of immortality, where we are born into immortality, really is a law of self-reflection that we'll look at then tomorrow, where really the synonyms are blending together. And that blending is giving a tremendously dimensional, ever-operative. There is motion going on within this level. It's a law of isness, but that law of self-reflection is forever operating, moving through its reflection as a sphere. But because that sphere is constantly restructuring itself through the law of self-similarity, through the law of self-reflection, it's never the same. Being is constantly reflecting itself anew, anew, anew on the level of science itself. That experience is always new, infinitely new, never repeats itself, always spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. which we can see, therefore, which Mrs. Eddy says in the spiraling, therefore that sphere of that matrix of immortality, of the blending of principle being its own infinite principle in its own realm, becomes a spiral. And it becomes a spiral always because of its restructuring, makes it always new, therefore makes it spiral higher and higher, she says, from a boundless spaces. So, who knows, our experience in infinity will look somehow like this, which I have projected, just a big spiral on the screen, is how she said we would look at the level of being itself, the level of science itself. Just as she said, we go on to spiritual spheres and exalted being, and as I said, spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. This is just a symbol for the experience where we go finally into life, where I feel life really begins, but it's really an ever-present possibility. So what we will do tomorrow, then, is to really be like the little diagram here. We begin to look out from the levels of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science into that wonderful realm of science itself, that realm of the eighth day. And we really begin to open up that realm where one day is as the Lord is a thousand years, where that tonality of the eighth day is that the seed was in the earth before it grew. Really, as Jesus said, glorify me with what I was before the world was. Really remembering what we really are right here and now as the Son of God. So we have quite an adventure in front of us. And as Mrs. Eddy says, I've taken you up to the mountaintop and shown you the view. And she says, now you work your way up through science and understanding.